Yes, I'm talking about spiritual darkness and that we're experiencing that and other kinds of darkness, dark time of year, seasonally. Weather's been dark. Halloween is coming up. That's a dark time of year. And we're actually doing something next weekend that has to do with darkness, and that is speaking about the demonic and how that affects us and our world. So yeah, I just was thinking about darkness a lot and the antidote, which is light. And I remembered a favorite poem of mine by Robert Frost. This is one of my treasures. Book of Poems by Robert Frost, which is well-worn. And in here is a poem called My November Guest. And he talks about someone he's going walking with in November, but it's not really a person. It's a sorrow or a sadness. I think Robert Frost had a lot to do with being melancholy, and sometimes melancholy people are good poets. Anyways, this poem talks a lot about that. I think all of us can appreciate, even this time of year, God made this time of year as well. So here's something that I can truly identify with, and maybe you do too. My sorrow, when she's here with me, thinks these dark days of autumn rain are beautiful as days can be. She loves the bare, the withered tree. She walks the sodden pasture lane. Now that's where I can remember going to get the cows and walking the pasture lanes, and they're soggy and wet and it's dark and it's probably raining. Her pleasure will not let me stay. She talks and I am fain to list. She's glad the birds are gone away. She's glad her simple worsted gray is silver now with clinging mist. The desolate, deserted trees, the faded earth, the heavy sky, the beauties she so truly sees, she thinks I have no eye for these and vexes me for reasons why. Not yesterday I learned to know the love of bare November days before the coming of the snow. But it were vain to tell her so, and they are better for her praise. So that's my little excursion into one of my treasures today. So today, being aware of the darkness, we want to move from darkness to light. Denise read that familiar passage, John 1. Someone called the Word. His name is never really mentioned. His given name was never really mentioned in that scripture that she read, but we know it's Jesus. The Word came. He was alive. That life was the light of all mankind and the light that shines in the darkness. He was with God in the beginning. So let's go back to the beginning. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. And there are two things that two New Testament authors talk about God that have to do with light. John the Apostle wrote in 1 John, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And then the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, speaks about God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light. So in the beginning, God who is light, in him there's no darkness at all, God lives in unapproachable light. Let's just continue in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Just reminds me of when we sort of talked about the significance of the different panels behind us here. when we did those years ago, and then they're actually printed in the bulletin in those different segments. Both dark and light are in that first quadrant. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Two things about light, or two things that are mentioned here that we want to take note of, that is, light is good, and secondly, God separated the light from the darkness. In verse 14 of that first chapter, we go to the fourth day of creation, and that's when the lights were made, the sun and the moon, the sun to guard the day, the sun, the moon, the night, and it just talks about how they make for times and seasons, days and night, and that they actually are there to govern the day and govern the night. We know the story from there on. Adam and Eve, sin, Cain. Cain, it says, was sent away from the presence of God. So if we know God to be light, God to live in unapproachable light, then we know that God, that Cain is sent away from the light. He's sent away from God's presence. There's a few bright spots in the Old Testament, in that first book of the Old Testament, Genesis. But at the time of Noah, we read that every inclination of the heart of mankind was only evil all the time. And so God regretted that he had made mankind, and he set about to destroy them with a flood. And we know the story of Noah. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the beginning of God's people, God wanting a people that he originally always wanted, someone to know him and to walk with him. Moses, and actually leading the people of God. Judges, kings, prophets. God had set before them both blessings and curses. If you obey me, if you listen to me, if you walk with me, I'll bless you immeasurably. I'll give you your own land. I'll give you all these benefits, but on the other hand, if you refuse to listen to me, pay attention to me, and disobey me, and do your own thing, you're going to reap those benefits, which are the curses. And ultimately, even the land itself, you'll be removed from the land itself. So Isaiah lived in a time like this, one of the prophets, maybe over 700 years before Jesus came along. And at the time of Isaiah, there was the first exile of Israel. They were dispersed into many different countries, northern kingdom. He wrote this in Isaiah chapter 9. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. Let's just read that from Isaiah. Nevertheless, he says, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. So this is the area where Jesus actually came from, where Nazareth is, where Jesus began his ministry, was in the northern kingdom, which was the first kingdom to go into captivity, the first kingdom to experience some of those curses that God had promised if they didn't obey him. A dark place. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Isaiah wrote 700 years before Jesus came along. Then in the book of Matthew, Jesus begins to travel around the country, and he begins his ministry in this very area, and Matthew makes a note of this. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. So that very area, Galilee, Jesus came along and presented the light. Go to John chapter 1. where Denise read some verses. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And in my Bible, there's a note just after the word overcome, and maybe some of you have that in your Bible as well. It is understand. So what's the meaning of that? So if we go to the Amplified version, we read in the translation that I just read, the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overpowered it, put it out, or has not absorbed it. On the other hand, it has not appropriated it and is unreceptive to it. So the darkness that Jesus came into, the dark situation in Galilee, Jesus came as a light. And the light was not overcome, it was not overpowered, but on the other hand, the darkness didn't appropriate it. It was unreceptive to this light. So that's probably where the word understand, the darkness did not understand it. Verses 10 and 11 in that chapter. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own people, the Jewish people, but his own did not receive him. Why? Jesus came as a light. He came as he was predicted to come. Why wasn't he received? Well, we go to John chapter 3, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. This is the verdict. This is verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than light, or instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So why were people unreceptive to the light? Because they loved the darkness. The light exposes what they really rather wanted to keep. People love darkness rather than light, the fear of being exposed. John chapter 8. Jesus here actually says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we're called upon to follow the light. John 12. Verse 35. Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light. Read also another paragraph in that same chapter, John chapter 12 and verses 44 to 46. Then Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Now we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God, God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So one of the reasons we don't recognize the light is that we are blinded. We are blinded by the darkness. And we need all the help we can get to not only recognize the light, but to walk in the light, to believe in the light, to follow the light. There was a pastor that we had years ago that had a statement that has always stuck with me. We need God to know God. In other words, to know God, to recognize God, to recognize Jesus, we need God's help because we are blinded. It's not just a matter of reasoning people to the point where they understand, yes, Jesus is the light and accepting it. God has to shine that light in our hearts. We read in John chapter 12, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. Jesus wanted children of light. He didn't want to only be the light himself. He wanted to spread that light around and for us to become his children. Children of light. And that begins when God shines his light in our own hearts. What can we do to move from darkness to light? Our own reasoning is not enough. We're blinded. We don't want to be exposed. It says people love the darkness because their deeds were evil and they rather not come into the light. But one of the evil deeds is actually something we may not look at as so evil. Is this whole belief in that we know better. We're okay. We're not so bad. We don't need help. Perhaps the greatest sin that we can be guilty of is independence. The greatest of evils, that we don't need God. And that's an understanding that we have to come to, we have to come to an understanding that we do need God and that we can't even get there on our own. So we can actually choose to open ourselves to our hearts to the light so that the light can shine in. If we're really open to knowing whether Jesus is really the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, the light that he claimed he was, and we're perhaps doubtful about it, the least we can do is say, all right, God, I want you to show me. I open myself to the light so that the light can shine in me. I can't believe on my own. My reasoning doesn't help me. My reasoning maybe takes me in the wrong direction. So opening ourselves so that God's light can shine in and actually his spirit bear witness with our spirit that we can become his children, that we are his children. To receive this light, to believe in this light, to follow this light, to walk in this light. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8, Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So we talked about Jesus or God. God being light, God is light, and in him is no darkness. Then Jesus claims, I am the light. And now here we're told that we are light. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And then we're asked to live as children of light. Remember, Jesus wanted children of light. He wanted us to believe in the light so that we could become children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. So as we come into the light, of course, we get exposed. And that's important for us to realize that, all right, God, I'm coming into the light, and I begin to see these things in you that does not please, in me that does not please you. And so we begin to allow him to deal with these things. Find out what pleases the Lord or what doesn't please him. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. So that's what we do when we come into the light. We actually say, God, what is it here? Show me what isn't pleasing to you, what needs to be gotten rid of. Everything that is illuminated becomes a light. So when we are illuminated, when God shines his light in us, and the impurities are removed, we actually become light to those around us. Increasingly, as God increasingly deals with that in us which doesn't please him. First Peter chapter 2. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We need to recognize our need for help. We need to recognize our need for mercy. That is probably the basic prayer that we all need to pray. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We need that light to shine in our hearts. If we choose to stay in the darkness, it will only get worse. I don't think we have any idea how dark this world would be if God entirely removed his presence. We read in Revelation of one of the plagues, one of the Revelation chapter 16. The seven bowls of God's wrath that was being poured out, one of them was darkness. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sorrows, but they refused to repent of what they had done. So the removal of the light is something I don't think we have any idea of how terrible that would be. If God removed his presence from this world, how dark things would be. Because there's not even the hope for these people at this point to repent. And for God to remove his presence is such a scary thing. Jesus told several stories about, or parables about, people being thrown into outer darkness. One had to do with, I think it's Matthew 22, the wedding supper that this king invited everybody to, and everybody came and they had to be in wedding clothes, and somebody was there without wedding clothes on, and he was taken out and thrown into what some translations say is outer darkness, or what other translations simply say as the darkness outside. I remember when we were kids, one of the punishments that my dad had for us was to spend some time in the coal room. we had a furnace that was fired by coal and wood. And there was this little room, and it was very, very dark. No windows. And we had to go and sit on the coal pile, and the door would be closed. And if there ever was darkness in a room as black as, I mean, that's probably cruel and unusual punishment today, right? But you realized how terrible darkness is. And I don't think we have any idea how awful it is to be removed totally from God's presence. That's something that happened at the crucifixion of Jesus, at the death of Jesus. What happened? The world became dark between the hours of 12 and 3 o'clock. Why do you think that was? I believe it was because God looked away from Jesus. God removed his presence from Jesus. What did Jesus say at the cross just before he died? My God, why have you forsaken me? And I believe that's one of the reasons why it became so dark at that particular time. God removed his presence for that period of time from Jesus. Looked away. On the other hand, what we have to look forward to is light and more light. So many of you have heard stories of people who are dying and who see a light and move towards that light. That's very common in people's death experiences. That should be no surprise, because we know that the light, as we travel towards our heavenly home, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, in its fullness, will become increasingly bright. Revelation chapter 22 talks about the new Jerusalem, the city of God. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light. There will be no night there. So no need for the sun or the moon. We just love to have the sun coming in this morning. It's an indication, again, of God's light shining in on our lives. But there, God will be the light. The Lamb will be its light. Well, I just want to conclude with a few verses from 1 John. Again, the Apostle John. John was one person who spoke a lot about contrasts. Light and darkness was one of the contrasts that he dwelt on a lot, and that is seen in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I always like to dwell on the idea of the name of this church. This is Christian Fellowship Church, and the fellowship that we have is mentioned in this chapter. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, and so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with one another. And of course, his blood cleanses us. We come into the light and it exposes the darkness of it. And this is a lifelong process. As long as we're in this life, there's more darkness that needs to be exposed in our lives and taken care of and dealt with. And so one of the things that John really stressed was that if you don't love each other, if you can't love each other, then there's still darkness in you. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister will be in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. There's nothing in him to make him stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. So on your journey, on our journey from light, from darkness to light, let's pay attention to some of these.